Not as live on we were at the very dead end of it. Probably could have finished it yesterday, but I didn't, so here we are. Let's take the usual time to do what we always do, to get ourselves out from underneath our STAs. This is most momentous times you can imagine that we are living through. And there's more to come. We got a short time to go. That is my belief. That's my understanding of Scripture. And things are ratcheting up out there in the cosmos to try to bring us in tow and all the other pressures that they're trying to impose upon us. But we are not to be afraid. We are to trust in the Lord no matter what comes down, expected or unexpected, with regard to what they try to start throwing. Because if we're as close as I believe that we are to being raptured out of here, the dark side and all these people, they're going to be pulling a lot of different things, potentially. I'm not trying to scare you, not trying to frighten you. I'm just trying to let you know that we need to be spiritually with our armor on, in fellowship, in prayer, just go about your business. But anything that big and unexpected that happens, God still, his promises still hold true for each and every one of us. So we're just going to hang in there like we always have and put our trust in the Lord. Let us pray. Father, it's very apparent to us who have doctrine that we're at the very end of our dispensation and our life as we know it on this earth. And we thank you that you will get us out of here and deliver us according to what we have studied in your word with regard to the appearing of Jesus Christ and our deliverance from this body, this world, this evil that we're in. Be with us in our study in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We noted that last time that in time believers suffer. And this suffering, we're talking about suffering that is undeserved versus self-induced. That's a separate subject. Our present sufferings are not to be compared to phase 3 and SG3. For I consider the sufferings of this present time not to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. That is very basic understanding with regard to the topic of suffering, that we are going to be transported into this glory through resurrection, out of here. You may have questions about things. God will take care of everything. You have nothing to worry about. You just keep faith resting this one day at a time as we move ever closer to the upward call. Based on the doctrine that I have presented to you over the years and in recent times, and the conditions that we now are facing on in this country and world with regard to the tyrannical plans that they have for anyone who resists their evil. I'm speaking specifically with regard to pressuring people with regard to vaccination. This is an attack on the human race, and it is one that is that we're right in the face of it. So hang in there. Surpassing joy and celebration awaits those who receive full SG3 at the Bema. 1 Peter 4:13. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation. This will be for those who qualify for the crown at the Bema seat. It will be a time of extreme celebration and exultation in a resurrection body. And those of you who have hung in there and are hanging in there, you're in a position to enjoy this vindication of your positive volition. And whatever sufferings you are now working your way through, and we're all suffering. We're all suffering in this under the pressure of the evil that has surfaced here in our world and in our country. Believers who fail to attain SG3, on the other hand, they are going to suffer. They are going to suffer shame. This again is the basic principle that those who come up short, who fail to gain the crown, they're going to be in shame. There's not one of you here, or maybe some of you out there that are, may be still listening, that cannot pull this out and get your crown. There's no reason why. You, whatever your past failures and situations are, you can qualify yourself for this by simply locking in on the doctrine and sticking with this and seeing this through. And now, little children, abide in him. That's the establishment of the fellowship principle. Abiding in him means to be in fellowship. It's not dealing with positional sanctification. Abide in him. It's a command to stay in fellowship. So, and you can't do that. You cannot do that if you walk away from Bible doctrine. It's just not going to work. You abide in him. And that's one of the things you're staying locked in with regard to the importance of doctrine and the things you've learned over the years. So that when he appears, we may have confidence. Those who did it right, minute the rapture occurs, you will have complete confidence. You won't be wondering, oh, I wonder how it's gonna shake out for me. You won't have that problem. You won't have that negative doubt what's gonna happen now. Again, when the resurrection body is given, the individual is downloaded with the entire mind of Christ from every believer. And those who have done it right and persevered, they will have confidence. Complete and total confidence that things at the Bema seat are going to turn out well for them. You'll have it the instant you get your resurrection body. The rest, they're going to go, oops, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. That will be the situation with a great majority of believers because they did not finish their course and earn the crown. So you're here. You're still in Bible class. Just hang on a little longer. Two essential ingredients necessary for believers to earn SG3 are, and these two have to go hand in hand. You can't have the one say, oh, well, people rebound. What good does rebound do you if you're not cycling and taking in Bible doctrine? You can go out and confess your sins, but you're not obedient. The believers that are not obedient and are listening to doctrine and engaged with doctrine, they will not be qualified for this. So, John chapter 15, which you've looked at many times, numerous times. John 15. Where this, Jesus is anticipating the dispensation of the church where we have union with Christ. And the analogy here is to a grapevine. The main stalk, the main that goes up, and the branches that come off of it. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. That's divine good production. He takes away. What do you mean, he takes away? They end their life without divine good production because they didn't learn the doctrine of the adjustments to God, the importance of Bible doctrine, how to produce SG3, and what the directive will of God is for their lives. They're just in this mishmash of religion, though you're just bouncing around from one thing to the next, modern Christianity. He takes away. That's the, in other words, they do not die with honor. They're promoted to heaven and all the rest because they're believers. But those that don't bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. And pruning sometimes looks to the uninformed. It looks extreme. It looks like, wow, you cut this vine way, way back for the new season. So the pruning aspect is the trials that we go through. He says to his disciples, "You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." They're believers. "Abide in me." That's the rebound adjustment. Stay in fellowship. Keep monitoring yourself. Keep rebounding as often as you need to. Work on staying in fellowship. And and I in you. Now this is misunderstood by the indwelling of Christ is the mind of Christ in you. Doctrine in the inner man. That's Christ in us. One of the synonyms for Bible doctrine is Christ. "You have not so learned the Christ," Paul said. He's talking to believers. And so the mind of Christ is Christ in you. The doctrine in you is Christ, I in you. "As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me." And if you're staying in fellowship, truly, you're not going to walk away from doctrine and leave it. "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit." There's the basis for your SG3. "For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away as a branch and dries up." An analogy. "And they gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned." This does not refer, obviously, to the loss of salvation and someone going to hell that was saved. No, that's not at all. This has to do with loss and shame at the Bema seat. Your saving grace will be the SG3 you've built up over the years and hopefully your qualification for the crown. And there are things you cannot be engaged in consistently, repeatedly, and get the crown. You can't be involved in constant persistence. I could pick one thing, non-forgiveness. That's a killer. Failure to forgive others as Christ has forgiven you. Whatever they did to you, you have to forgive as Christ forgave. You do not want to go there and stay in a state of antagonism towards another believer. We are to walk in love. We are to abide in love. We are to treat our fellow believer appropriately and avoid certain activities. It doesn't mean we have to overlook things, but pray for people. Try to encourage people here at the end the best you can. "If you abide in me," and this is a key right here, staying in fellowship, "and my words abide in you." That is your clue to Christ in you from above. I in you. It's my words in you. My teachings. The doctrine found in the Word of God. "If you abide in me and my words abide in you." And then this is a prayer promise. "Ask whatever you wish." See, if you're praying, ask whatever you wish, you're not going to be violating the words in you. And that's pretty critical. You have a prayer dynamic. You need something. You ask God for it. You pray for something. You want something. Need something. "Ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit." Every day of your life, all the time, you can bear fruit. And here we are down at the end. And our opportunity to bear fruit, encourage one another, and we really see the day approaching. We really see it. It's almost scary. I mean, we are so close. And all the things we studied, now it's in front of us. The few Bible classes we have left to us, get here. Encourage others. If you talk to anybody that's fallen by the wayside that you know and you care about, well, they won't listen to me. That doesn't matter. You, at being positive and being here, you have the upper hand. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. By producing divine good towards each other in application of Bible doctrine, you prove yourself to be a disciple. You demonstrate yourself the kind of disciple. Look how Jesus hung in there with these men. When they'd say stupid stuff, they even abandoned him at the end, running under fear. Even though he worked to prepare them for this, they didn't do their part. And they imploded at that time. But they're graced out, they're restored, and away we go. Believers fail. Believers stumble. Don't kick them while they're down. Be an encouragement to them. You don't know how you can affect another believer by being an encouragement, verbally in any other way. Okay? Hebrews 6, 7 and 8. The ground that drinks the rain, which often falls on it, and brings forth vegetation useful to those for whose sake it is also tilled. You have to stir up the soil. We understand tilling. Receives a blessing from God. But if it yields thorns and thistles, it is worthless and close to being cursed, and it ends up being burned. That's the fate of a lot of believers through time. Thorns and thistles. Okay. We should be preoccupied with the accumulation of SG3. And all that you do is under the Lord. When you go to work, you deal with issues with your family, deal with your personal tests, sufferings, and things of this nature. 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. In other words, our number one priority are not the things which are seen. And that's everything. Necessities of life, other things. We don't let those things turn our head to the point that we go running after them full bore and ignore the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. We always keep that before us. That's just temporal. It's nice. It may be enjoyable, but it's temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. And then Colossians 3:3. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth, like so many are wrapped up in. We who have been here and paid our dues, we definitely are looking for the things that are not seen. We are anxious to get out of here, to get on with this, to get past this mess, even at its best. And now we've had this happen in our lives that makes this even more detestable. Okay, first we'll end with this. You want to hang around and have some fellowship and talk? You're free to do so. The kids are still probably engaged with their Bible class, so don't disrupt that, please. They're important, too. They need to hear the Word of God in these last days and get where they need to be. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Thank you, Father, for the time. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.